Welcome to Bonded by Bravo. I am Amy and I am joined with my co-host Jenna.
Hi guys.
And this is the first time we're talking about it. We're talking about the season finale. That's going to be what we're chatting about today. Jen, where were you when you watched?
I was home, but my cousins were starting to text me because they're 3 hours behind and I was at work just sitting behind the bar in my friend that bartends right after me, she's like, are you staying for a drink? I was like, no, I am watching the clock. I've been the clock all day. I am running home. I will.
My in-laws are in town and we had dinner with my husband's cousins and my in-laws. And, you know, this was planned months ago and it's 9 o'clock. It's 9:30. It's 9:45. It's 10. It's 10:30. We didn't get home till 11:15 from dinner. Yes. And mind you, on the subway ride home, it's about 30 minutes. I kept my phone in my pocket. I said to my husband, don't you dare look at your phone. If anything pops up, I will murder you. So we just had to have conversations with ourselves for the 30-minute. For the 30-minute train ride because we didn't want to ruin it. And then we sat down. I got myself a snack and dove right in.
It was worth the hype.
It's funny you say that.
You really leaned right in.
It's funny you say that because I disagree. I felt like they gave us all the good nuggets in the previews.
I was in it. I was enthralled. Like I got up. Like that confessional of Raquel giggling was not in any preview.
That stuff, but and neither was the Tom Sandoval crying moments, which Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But I just thought majority of the stuff, like the good, I wanted to see more of Ariana and Tom. I felt like the majority of what happened with Ariana and Tom we saw in the previews. Like, I can't believe that was their last conversation. Is it their last conversation? I have so many questions.
Yeah, to that point, I think that conversation was obviously like, I think she even said it was quite a few hours. And I really wish Bravo would have just seized this moment to be like, okay, clear the airwaves. Like, we will give you a 3-hour finale. We would have all sat there and watched it to get more of those conversations. Sheena said that that conversation with Sandoval was actually several hours. That kind of got cut down to just like a few minutes. But the conversation with Ariana and Sandoval in the beginning, like there were things in there that were not previewed. Like the conversation when she says to him about needing a fangirl, I was like, oh yeah, this is like definitely – yeah, you need your ego stroke. That's the kind of guy you are.
And when she said, you got yourself a little money, you got yourself a little bar, I was yelling at the TV, yes, yes, friend, yes. Because it's so true. She stuck by him through so much. I mean, that conversation definitely gave chills. I think I just wanted more of it. That could have been the whole episode for me, and I think I would have been happy.
1,000%. We did not need, although it was fine to see Kristen, but I didn't need her coming over and slide to do witchcraft. Give me more of that conversation between Sandoval and Ariana.
That's what I have in my notes. Could have done without the Kristen Doty scene. Like her walking.
It was so weird.
It was so weird and not necessary.
It felt mean for Bravo to like hype us up and then give us a like a
12 seconds. And how long do you think that was? That was less than 30 seconds of a scene.
I could have seen that on someone's like IG story.
Right. Later. At a later date.
Yeah.
That. So with the opening scene, we see the part where we've seen this in previews of Ariana saying, for you to die. Yes. Thank you for you to die. Not really, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And them recapping what happened the night of and Tom Sandoval in his confessional saying, usually this is something I would have deleted.
Died.
My jaw was down to the floor. You're saying this is something I would have deleted. You moron. You are outing yourself over and over again. You idiot.
They really dug their graves.
Oh,
this episode and since this episode, doing those weird ass interviews, they should have just stayed quiet. Like, I can't believe their PR teams weren't like, shut up, sit down and shut up.
But I think to Ariana said on Watch What Happens Live, which we'll talk about, she said, I think Tom is enjoying every bit of attention of this. And I completely agree, whether it's negative or not. Again, in that first opening scene, when Ariana's talking to him and said the most heartbreaking thing where she says, I would have followed you anywhere.
Oh, I know.
Ugh, that hit. My heart, like yeah. My heart sunk.
Did you cry at all or tear up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I asked my husband if he was crying. He's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I'm crying a little bit. I'm crying. I think it was in the scene with Ariana and Lisa that made me cry. And her talking about those stages of grief of what it feels like. We've all kind of been there. And when her saying she would have followed him anywhere and he starts crying and does this, like, I watched him. He did this gulp, like, took this big gulp. And again, it was almost as if he pushed these tears out. Nothing. I cannot explain into words what it's like watching him on TV and how infuriated I get, because everything he does feels like it's for show. And I don't understand how Ariana didn't see that and how she's too good for him and always has been. It's never been, I can't believe she would have done anything for him because he sucks.
Yeah. I know she has always been too good for him. And even if those tears, let's just hypothetically say that they're real, I don't think they're about Ariana. I think it's more about how big it sort of turned into. I don't think it really has to do with any heartbreak he's feeling. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like the bar, Schwartz, what are my friends going to think? Like, I really just don't think that those tears are for Ariana, and that's really sad.
That's interesting, because I would agree. It didn't feel like they were for him. I don't even know if I believe that they're for the bar. There's this part of me that believes that in a way he is loving the attention from this and how he can act from this and how he can turn this into about himself and play the victim. When he stood up and was yelling at her about the friendship and you don't even know about the friendship, how can you possibly be yelling at this woman who you just destroyed? Like,
I wrote that down. I was like, you cannot, like, the nerve for you to yell at me, like, at me when you're the one that fucked me over?
Right.
Hell no. Sit down. Sit down and shut up.
The fact that there were no – in that scene, you see him, and he kind of has some scratches on his eyes. And I'm hoping that it was something they never talked about. But she must have thrown a bow at one point, because let me tell you, that house would have been flipped upside down, destroyed if I was in that situation. Destroyed.
Yeah.
Did you see that, the cut on his eye, like right around his eye?
I didn't even notice. I just
that's the Philly in me.
Honestly, but he like really does skeeve me out. But when she said, cutting a little bit forward to when she has everyone there, like Brad and Logan and stuff, or I think it's when they're there, and she says, or no, it's maybe one of her other friends, and she says something about how she has the ick. I was so happy to hear her say that that's how she was feeling, because I think we've all been there. When you get the ick, like, it is a feeling that you kind of can't turn off.
No turning back.
Once it's there, it's there.
No coming back from the ick.
There's no
coming back. Thank God. And thank God for this situation that she got the ick. I mean, I think we're all surprised that she didn't have the ick for years before, because we've had the ick for a long time. I sure as hell have. Yeah, the white nail polish doesn't help.
No, that white, whatever. But yeah.
Follow me on TikTok at Amy Vandarian for my go-to.
Yeah,
have a whole TikTok about it.
Yeah, the ick comment I thought was – I was really, really happy to hear that. Yeah. And just seeing everyone kind of come over and rally around her was great to see.
I think what we saw in this episode, followed by the Watch What Happens Live, it felt like we – Andy said it in his podcast, but also I felt like we were able to see the stages that she went through. Those first few days, she was angry. Then when we saw her with Lisa, the tears, that broke my heart. Then when we saw her with Schwartz and she was humming for him, I loved it. And then on Watch What Happens Live, it's like, okay, here I am. This is revenge served at its finest.
Yeah, when she walked onto the scene for Watch What Happens Live, I swear to God, I teared up. I was like so proud and happy for her. I was like, yes. And even when I was watching her on the finale episode, and I'm sure that when cameras weren't rolling, maybe it was a little less poised.
Right.
But the way she was delivering those words to just not just Sandoval, but to Schwartz as well. And when she was talking about it, I was like, wow, this is – wow. this, I like this. This is really, I wish. Poetry. I hope this for me one day. Not the break, but like, if I were ever going through something, I hope I could sound like this.
Right. It was so poised and put together. That was something I thought too.
Because I was like, if we thought you were a queen before.
Because that's what I was thinking too, is that like, this is her and she is, I would never be able to deliver those lines like that. I would never be able to deliver what that looks like and how that sounds and make it sound so in the heart, twisting the knife, good to go.
She looked gorgeous doing it too, I must say.
That, you know, I kept thinking like, what, who is her dermatologist and do I need to find out their name? Who does her Botox?
I thought sign all me of up. Them, even Sheena, I thought these girls look really pretty
without
crying.
Makeup on? And without makeup on, jeez, yeah. Gosh. The one thing I did that I really, I mean, the scene with James, this was the shadiest scene. And of course, when they cut to Allie and James, I'm like, what are they going to do? Like, how are they going to contribute to this conversation? Little did we know, shady James is going to bring all the girls over and make a phone call.
So good.
Him making that phone call. Do you want to know when I teared up? When I teared up was when James was in his confessional and saying how fucked up it was. Sandoval was a friend to him. That, for some reason, made me tear up because I think we've seen this shady James all season. And in reality, I think we didn't – I was never thinking of how Raquel hooking up with these people was affecting James because James had moved on. But he still was with her for years. And he did at one point think that he was going to marry her enough to do an elaborate proposal. And Tom Sandoval paid for it.
Yeah, and I – do I know a lot of people maybe think that this has – I don't think this has to do with Raquel. Like, I don't think he's still hung up on it. I think it is like a fucked up situation. Like, this is supposed to be one of your close friends, and now he's going after your ex-fiance, and it's all behind another friend's back, and it's just – the whole thing is really – there's a lot of layers, and it's very strange.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely feel for James, but – he was cracking me up.
Oh my gosh. The things he said on that phone call.
Oh my gosh.
Cocky cock. The memes that man is going to get. Again, James Kennedy for president.
Yeah.
James Kennedy, number one man in the group. The hype that he got after the season. Again, he was one of my least favorite cast members in the past. And he's up there, number one right now. I'm going to say it. Number one. He's above Katie. He's above Lala for me. I'm putting him up there. And yeah, I also want to ask Raquel. This blows my mind. Why is she answering James Kennedy's phone call after all of this happened? You're answering James Kennedy's phone call? What?
I think she would have taken anyone's phone call at this point. Mm-hmm. But even when she answers, like, the lack of remorse is so shocking. It continues to be shocking to me. The way that Sheena described that night after Watch What Happens Live, how she was very nonchalant. Yeah, so Sandra and I have been having a 7-month affair and Ariana just found out. Like, what? What do you mean?
Yeah, that's okay. We can fix the sound on that. Yeah. Pull back when we need to make loud expressions.
But yeah, that was her just – there's something that's not connecting for her.
Yeah. Question. Do you think Sheena punched Raquel, Rachel?
No, I don't think she punched her. I think that she probably did push her, and I don't know if there's – was maybe like a wall behind her or something that she probably backed into. I don't even think that that cut is from that, to be honest. I don't think
hope that she did.
Yeah,
because her face looked a little busted with that. Yeah, in their conversation with Sandoval.
I thought it was like nothing.
It wasn't, but that's not like it was. It was, but you don't get that from a push. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just get that. Like, just like,
I don't know. I just don't think she punched her.
I hope
but
she
I don't
did.
Know. We'll never know.
And yeah. I loved her explanation. I know. And I loved her explanation of saying that she couldn't make a fist because of her closed hand nails.
Yeah. Like, you got that from the internet.
Yeah, right.
She heard that on the internet. Was like, yeah, let's run with it.
Right. Like, you
whether she did
it,
or
girl,
not.
Trust.
I mean, it was a nice alibi.
Yeah. So then we get into the, I thought I was going to vomit. The scene with Sandoval and Raquel at Raquel's apartment. You know what my first thought was? Graham the dog sure as hell knew who Tom Sandoval was by the way that dog greeted that man.
Okay, that and the already – there was a Coors Light case in her fridge.
Yep.
Did you catch that?
God.
I noticed –
I didn't catch that.
Yep. I noticed the dog in the Coors Light. I was like, oh, yeah, you are having an affair. If your dog's coming up to you like that.
And who is still drinking Coors Light in their third? Like, this man is 40-something years old and you're drinking Coors Light? Like, you only drink Coors Light to get bombed. And like at this age, he still does he? No, Kyle drinks High Life. Totally different.
Okay.
In his defense. But still, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just carrying around cases of Coors Light at your house?
I mean, it just – so. I'm not going to knock the Coors Light because I – but it's the fact that –
You love a Coors Light? Is that what you just said?
I do like a Coors Light.
What?
I do. It reminds me of my uncle.
I've never seen
you – shout out to him. Love him.
I've never seen you drink a Coors Light.
I just can't really drink beer a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. But maybe that's what we're more concerned about. Like us with our stomach issues. Like,
yeah, that's like the hangover, all of it. I just can't.
The bloating. I just can't deal with it anymore.
But wait, did we just skip over the Schwartz and Sandoval scene?
I don't know the order. I didn't. Okay. Yeah. We can go back to that.
Okay. That scene was what was your, I guess, overall takeaway before I get into mine?
My overall takeaway is that I'm going to say it again. Schwartz is such a puss. All he cared about, aside from the fact of the Sandoval like sobbing, crying, which was cringy in its own right, all I could think about was Schwartz is so concerned about himself right now that it's disgusting. I put the crying of Sandoval aside because, again, I already have the ick by that man. The sobbing, like, I don't believe any of that. And then Schwartz is there just talking about how it's affecting him, which I get it. They just opened a bar, but there's some of your closest friends and you've been here on the heels of this lying to these people. And that's what you're worried about.
I know. I wonder if I agree, first of all, but I do also wonder, like, is there also this other part of like build up frustration with Sandoval? Because they talk about, it does sort of feel like Schwartz probably put in a lot. It's coming off like mm-hmm. he's put a lot more into this bar. I mean, if Sandoval had the time to go tour with his band and actually start a band and practice and get his nails done and have an affair while also still living with his partner, like how much time could he have been putting in? And it's just, I'm like, is this a way for Schwartz to actually be mad at Sandoval right now? Because I feel like he has pent up frustration with him already. But yeah, him really just turning the whole thing to that. I do so badly wish Schwartz would have gone so much harder on
yes.
him about this whole thing. And I asked my partner this last night, I was like, or two nights ago, I was like, if so-and-so, like, let's say this was happening within our friend group, like, what would you do? And he was like, oh no, you get 24 hours to tell. And then it's out.
And that's where I think, for me, the part where I don't feel bad, whether Sandoval was putting in work or not, or Sandoval was doing this, traveling, and Schwartz was too involved. Yo, Schwartz, you should have been worried about this 7 months ago.
Yep.
Why are you now you're going to say it's affecting your business?
Yep.
Now you're worried about it? What about all the shit you've been doing, helping hide this and going on double dates with this man and this woman, hiding it behind your friend's back?
Yeah. I was so happy Katie said to him, no, you mm-hmm. did know, because at BravoCon, you made a mm-hmm. comment to me.
Yeah.
And he had to kind of backpedal a little bit and be like, okay, so I knew about the one night stand. Yeah, bullshit. You're so right. If he was so concerned with the business, then mm-hmm. he really should have pushed, like, we got to get this sorted out before this comes out and blows up everything.
But you know what? When Tweedledee and Tweedledum are making, like, having these conversations, they in a million years never thought it would blow up to this. But guess what? Life sucks. And here you are.
Yeah.
Here you are. And I feel like
Sandoval saying, like, Schwartz says to him at one point, as like Sandoval's kind of reeling and being like, we weren't like intimate and things haven't been good for a while. And like Schwartz says, yeah, that part's relatable, but you could have told her. And Sandoval says, quote unquote, he got a vibe from Ariana didn't want to hear about his affair. Rich. That is so rich. Like, what do you mean? Of course you got a vibe. Like, it does not matter. And Sheena said it in her conversation. Like, you break up and we pick up the pieces like we are doing now, but you don't humiliate her.
But this is him gaslighting her as he did this whole season.
And Schwartz a little bit even here. Like, he is
No, but it's true. Like, this is – to me, Schwartz and Sandoval are co-conspirators here.
Yeah, yeah. It's like really showing mm-hmm. through even more here. I'm like, I wanted, when Katie said to him, like, you're going to have to, you know, cut ties to some extent, or you're basically, I don't know what she said exactly, but essentially, yeah, like, you're going to get dragged as well. And this is unless you separate yourself. And it doesn't seem like he has done that yet. And I'm like, right, at this point, save yourself at least.
Right. When you're
if
on
you
the
care
ship,
about
I
this
mean,
bar as much as you're coming off to care about it. More than Ariana's feelings and this whole thing. And she was in a 9-year relationship with this man.
And see, that's the thing. This is all Schwartz has. Whereas Sandoval, yeah, you know, he can, he doesn't give a shit as much, in my opinion. Like, yeah, he thinks, so I think, right, he'll ride off other coattails. He'll do his, he'll make his little money, have his little band, yeah, blah, blah, favorite line. And I think for Schwartz, like, this is going to be his livelihood, and it's getting shit on. Well, guess what? This is what happens when you're laying in bed with the devil. Like, this is what you've been setting up in your friendship. The two of you have been covering for each other. You've been covering for him and dealing with his bullshit. I think this, you hope, would be a life lesson to Schwartz, mm-hmm, in what it's like. He stood up for Sandoval over his own wife. Yep. Good luck to the next girl who's going to deal with that. I mean, we saw what she looks like.
How about Sandoval saying she would have known if she just, like, looked at my location? Oh, get out. No,
this is what he said.
Why would you
this
want
is what
your
he
partner,
said,
like, constantly looking?
No, at do you hear what he said?
In that kind of way. Like, I mean, I don't know.
He said if she would have just gotten in her car and followed me, she would have seen where I was, that I was not going where I said.
I think he just said the location, but either way, yeah.
Oh, did he? I thought he said she would have, like, if she would have just followed me in her car, she would have seen that I
followed
wasn't going
me
where.
Followed me on, oh, I got, like, how I follow you.
This is how geriatric millennial I am, that I'm like, oh, I thought he meant followed in her car.
Like,
so
literally get in the car and do a...
Oh, my God. So she wasn't even – okay, this is interesting. And to that point, there's this part of me that thinks that if that's the case and all the things that Sandoval says, like, oh, she follow me, she turned an eye, this and that, it's almost as if he wanted to get caught and he was enjoying this thrill and this fun and this game of – oh, this affair. And if he said, I haven't felt something I felt in so long. Oh, yeah, dude, it's what happens after you're in a long-term relationship. It's just a new vagina. That's all you feel is a new vagina. That's what you're feeling that you haven't felt in a long time. Let's just call it what it is. Stop saying it's this feeling you never felt before.
I do think it also has to do with that it was Raquel, who is a fangirl. And really, like, yep, even the conversation that they had at the house, she 100% takes his directive. Mm-hmm. He said, you can tell who's leading this entire thing. Like, she's 100%. Just totally submissive. She's submissive to him and she's a fangirl and willing to fuck over her friend. I mean, it's perfect for a narcissist.
Exactly. That's what it is. He found it's almost like, I don't want to say this lightly, but it's, in a way, it's a sort of grooming. And yeah, I feel like that's what we saw. Like, he's grooming this young girl who's a little naive, who could be talked into things. Like, I want to know how that car session happened.
I think we'll get into it. If Andy does not ask that at the reunion, we have to get a new Andy Cohen.
You know he's going to get into it. Yeah. There was another thing I was going to say about, oh, that when they were talking, Raquel and Tom together – I had my head buried under my shirt when she was saying, I just wonder, like, am I stupid? Because if he's going to do this to Ariana, is he going to do it to me? Yeah. Then what do I – how have people not picked that up? That was so mind-blowing to me. I was screaming under my shirt going, yes, of course. This is what he's going to do to you, you idiot.
I know. And her confessional when she's just – I've been talking about this to everyone for like 3 days – like that giggling confessional, mm-hmm, she was smitten. She was so excited that she was keeping with Tom Sandoval. Mm-hmm. Like, she really thinks that he is the shit. It's so obvious.
Remember how they put a timeline on this, which I thought you would love because I know you've been asking for the timeline.
I have that in my notes. I think it says, yeah, we finally got a timeline, sort of.
So that outfit she was wearing on the episode of the finale, she also wore in the previous finale. So we need to rewatch last week's episode to see what she was saying then, because technically at that point, everyone knew she had that same outfit on.
In the confessional.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, just curious. I need to go back and see what disturbing things she said last week.
I was just like yelling like, okay, mm-hmm. just for the sake of your own mental health and what's about to come for you online, fake it here. Do just not lie. Be giggling. Be sorry. Show remorse. I don't care if you don't feel it. Like, show some remorse for – because you're about to get eaten alive.
Well, that was the thing. Her still smiling when Tom came over and – it is. I wanted Andy to ask him, watch what happens live. Has Raquel reached out to you? That's the question I want to know. Has Raquel reached out to you to have a conversation?
Yeah, as opposed to have you guys talk, because that's a different right. question.
Absolutely, because we know what happened the night of, but has she reached out to you since? It was very disturbing to see. And then one of my favorite scenes was when Sheena came over with Katie. And Sheena, I don't know if you know this because they blocked it out, but Sheena had two packs of Camel Crush cigs and handed them to Ariana. And I thought to myself, no, I know my Camel Crush. Shout out SK, my friend who loves a good Camel Crush.
Oh my God.
So for me, I was just cracking up like, oh, she brought a bottle of wine. She brought some cigs. She's ready to break wooden penises. Here we go. It was heartwarming in that moment. And then Sheena just make an awkward comment to Katie, like, I think we can put our stuff to the side.
Yeah. Yeah,
no shit, Sheena. Thank you, though, for
something tells me producers wanted them to make a comment about them coming together.
Gotcha.
Because I think there was a lot of stuff online right after that. Like, are Sheena and Katie going to, you know, they're both really good friends with Ariana. How is this going to come together, sort of?
And it's also funny because at that moment, I totally forgot that they weren't cool. It left my mind because I wouldn't think for a second that it would matter.
No, not for a second would it matter.
Yeah. And then that scene was you, again, screaming at the TV. But for me, I don't think we found out anything new there that we weren't.
No, we didn't.
Didn't really know. The scene with Ariana going over to Lisa really, really got me. Lisa crying.
I got a little annoyed with Lisa here.
Really? In this one?
Yeah. I just didn't like when she said, you know, they've been having trouble in their sex life for a while. Like, that is not an excuse. That is not an excuse. Break up. Break up. Break up. And Tom Sandoval saying, like, it had been 5 years. You bought a house together. Like, what are you doing?
But see, I can understand that because I've been in a long
time. It's not for Lisa to say.
But I think Lisa's that didn't bother me. I think because in my head when I saw that, I took it as Lisa was trying to comfort her. And in those situations when there's people close to you, you're looking for comfort. And I think what she was trying to say was, it's going to be there's a reason this happened. You know, things weren't going well for a while. When I was in my last long-term relationship, we should have broken up 6 months after dating, a year after dating, and we stayed together for years. We rented a house. We got a dog. All of these crazy things that you shouldn't be doing, knowing that you're not going to be with this person forever. But I think Ariana was ready to ride or die and ready to work through it. And I think that's the difference. But once the sex goes, realistically, it's done. It is. There's not a lot of coming back from that.
Yeah. I didn't appreciate Lisa saying that in her confessional.
I was more annoyed.
Like, I don't know. It sounded like Sandoval to me. Like, he's literally saying the exact same thing. He probably watched that scene of Lisa and was like, yeah, see?
Well, did you hear when Tom went over to Lisa's? I loved how Lisa greeted him and basically was like, I don't think.
That does, if you hug, like, that does set sort of a tone.
Yeah. But then I think that's why Tom had the waterworks and really pretend like he was having a panic attack and then jumping up and putting his arm against the wall. Every time I see that man cry, it reminds me of people I've been in acting class with where it's almost like you're being – they call it like you're being read the line. So like the director's reading the line for you. It's almost as if he watched this at some point in some movie, rehearsed it, and then this was his time to shine. Like, let me get up from the couch at this point. Let me walk over to my mark over by the wall. Let me put my arm up on the wall. I'm going to cry there. Then I'm going to turn around with a dramatic pause, a tear running down my cheek. Everything he does feels so rehearsed to me.
That's the kind of guy he is, too, and we've seen that for the last 10 seasons. Like, this is not really new. He's always a little bit, like, too much.
Yep.
Like it never feels like super authentic with him. It never really has.
Ever. He's not authentic. He's fake.
I always just chalked it up to like him being like super LA, which sorry, LA, but that was like sort of where I was at with it. I was like, I don't know, maybe there's just like, you know, these people get a camera in front of them and it just, it's on.
But that's, I definitely think that's an actor thing. I've seen that with actors. It's usually a bad actor thing. If you're a bad actor, you get this vibe of people always being quote unquote on. They're always like thinking of acting or being actors or I'm an actor. And it's usually the bad actors that act the way that Tom Sandoval does. It's, yeah.
I wish Raquel could have faked at least one tear.
It would have been nice. That's why there's got to be something off. The smirking and the like holding each other.
What are those lights in her house? I was like, are we 12?
Yeah.
Blue lights everywhere. I was like, it feels like very college-y.
But that's why I was wondering, were they doing something else? Like, Tom looked a little fucked up when he got there. I'm like, is he high? What's going on?
Probably.
And I also wonder if that's something they bonded over. I could see him being like, oh, you should take this Molly. And she's like, I've never done this before, but oh my God, okay, I'll do it with you. And then you like blue lights? I'll get blue lights. Let's do it together. Because you remember.
I think that whole part of it can't be ignored. I think Ariana's probably grown, was fun chick before in her 20s, but like, or even early 30s. But at some point, you can't be taking acid on a fucking Wednesday. It just does not work. I said it in our last podcast. Like, doing that kind of stuff is fun here and there, maybe once or twice a year. But Raquel is still at the age where like she can pop that Molly on a Thursday and she's not having the crazy anxiety on a Friday.
That girl needs to have anxiety. Maybe she would have a clue if she had some anxiety. Like, maybe she would have remorse. Maybe she would have a feeling. 100%. She needs some anxiety. Jesus.
I agree. But I just think she's still at that, like, kind of partying age. And Tom is looking for that. So it was sort of, like, perfect.
Yeah. I think
it feels like Ariana has, like, aged out of Tom's demographic.
And I think that for any woman in their 30s who was in a long-term relationship in their 20s and early 30s, that's what happens. If you don't get married, you age out of them because you stop the partying. They're still doing it. And it just gets old at some point because, you know, you just move on from it.
Tired. Like,
100%. I was in LA last weekend for a bachelorette party. It is Thursday. And no, it's Friday. See, this is what I mean. I'm still tired. I'm still recovering. The one thing that bothered me with the Lisa and Sandoval thing was immediately, as soon as that man put on a tear, she was ready to then comfort him.
Yeah.
And Ariana said it and Watch What Happens Live. I think she was a little too nice to him. And I agree. She caved way too quickly.
Yeah.
I think then is the Kristen scene?
which there's like not a lot here.
Other than her crusty slides.
Yeah, not a lot here.
Why did they have to focus on her shoes? I was afraid there was going to.
That was some shady Bravo editors doing that.
It felt that way, right? The leggings.
Yeah, that's 100%. That was so strategic and on purpose. They wouldn't have done that for anyone else. If I was Kristen, I'd be pissed.
Oh, if you would have put white socks on those sandals, you could have thrown her in Northeast Philly and called it a day.
Yeah, hitting up that wow for that coffee. And
It was rough.
I think in the scene with Kristen, she does mention the how Tom's camp, like she was like, my manager called US Weekly. I guess Tom's camp is talking to US Weekly and trying to totally spin the narrative. So that was all like, I remember the internet blowing up being like, oh, there's like this narrative coming out. And the Reddit people, the internet sleuths, they were on it. They were like, this is definitely
bullshit.
Yeah, just bullshit. And I just can't imagine not only being so disrespected, but also having the person who is still living in this house, like, also get the fuck out.
Right.
Like, my manager is now calling me about your team spinning this story of you fucking me over. What? What is happening? Like, what is going on here?
And that's Tom Sandoval to the T. This is what he's going to do. I think the other tidbit that came out of that was how Ariana said basically like, sorry that I did this to you 10 years ago. And Kristen basically was like, you did not do this to me. This was not the same thing. Like, let's call it what it is. And I thought that was a big moment for Kristen because we know Kristen 5 years ago would have been loving this if her and Ariana weren't close. Because in a way, it's almost a little true that Ariana and Tom's relationship kind of started out of an affair. And mm-hmm. Kristen was the result of that. But Kristen was very open and honest in podcasts she's been on to say, like, we were in a different spot. We should have broken up long before. This was not the same thing. And I think that was kind of big of Kristen to say that.
I think she definitely had a lot of therapy, and I'm happy for her.
Shout out to therapy.
Yeah, we love it.
We love our therapists. And then what was the next scene I have is all the girls on the rooftop, Ariana looking like a hot piece of ass that she is. Am I jumping ahead?
Did you see my text? That's the bar that, remember I told you?
Yes.
Willow Smith spit on my friend's shoe. I mean, it was an accident. She apologized. But it was really funny. We like feel this girl like kind of like we can hear the like she's straight up like hocked a loogie. And we like turn around and we're like, what the heck? And this really tall, skinny chick, who I'm like, that kind of, she looks pretty familiar. And then we get in the Uber and I'm like, Jackie, I think Willow Smith just spit on you.
<She's> unintentionally. Like, let's just like, say yeah. Unintentionally.
Yeah. And I was like, and she, like I said, she was so pot. She was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I was not ready for that to happen. But Jackie was like, are you sure? And I remember we looked at her Instagram and it was like, she was wearing same that night. Exact outfit. And I was like, yeah, she did. But it's a very cute spot. It's actually an Australian spot.
That's funny. I think it's where we were supposed to go originally. Cause it turns into kind of like a club at night, right?
Yeah. That rooftop does. We went, Jackie and I went for dinner.
That was one of the places we were going to hit up for the bachelorette party when I was there last week. It was funny to see it there. Ariana came in looking like everybody else was kind of like in sweats, and she came in. She's been serving these revenge dress looks for months now. Keep up the incredible work. I loved that scene. I think it was the day Sheena got served with the restraining order. And that was hard to see because Sheena, I feel like this season, I couldn't have cared less about Sheena for most of the season. And then hearing how she stuck up for Ariana, how she pushed Raquel, how she came through and got a restraining order while she has a kid and a family. I just thought like, yes, this is what it's about. This is what loyalty and friendship looks like.
Yeah. The thing that's so shitty about all that too is just like, it does really feel like Raquel abused the court system.
100%. And
that's like really, that's disgusting behavior. Disgusting.
And could you imagine from all of our Philly friends, could you imagine what you would be called if you tried to take out a restraining order on every person that you got in a fight with or every anywhere. Person you not watched just get in a fight over something?
No way.
And it's something she caused and you're going to take a restraining order out?
Also, that's a lot of work on the person who's doing like putting the restraining order. Like now you're caught up in this whole court system of it all. And that just feels like a headache, to be honest.
But she doesn't care. Mommy and daddy can take care of it. She has no worries on that end of thing. And she was probably advised to do it to make her look good in the press. Like,
oh my God. How about, speaking of the families, how about that scene when she's talking to Sandoval and she's like, Sandoval says, your mom definitely hates me.
Hates me.
And she's like, yeah. And then she's like, well, what about your family? And you could tell she almost backpedals for a second. Like, oh, what? We're on air. How people are going to know now that your family knows me. And then he says, they love you. And she goes, I love you too. And then that whole thing, which was like a little cringe.
Oh, so skeevy. And then immediately after, Raquel turned her phone off and was never seen from again by producers producing. I was like, I know. Okay. So what the heck does this mean?
Okay, but
now
yeah,
I want to ask you. Okay, Grandmasters, but before that, have you heard what's going around on Bravo and Cocktails about Raquel and what's going on with her right now? There is speculation that she might be pregnant and that they still haven't decided what to do. It's on Bravo and Cocktails from March 23rd. People are speculating that this is why producers haven't picked up cameras yet, because they're waiting for everyone to get this info to process it before starting the film. And I would think the opposite. I would think they would want that on camera. So again, this is all allegedly hearsay, but there is a blind on Bravo and Cocktails that Raquel could be pregnant and they're still figuring out what to do.
Well, I heard Bravo's not picking back up because part of it is that Raquel's family still has not given the go-ahead, basically, and they want Rachel or whatever to feel, I don't know, I guess they're waiting to see what she decides, and so they're giving it a little bit of space, but also trying to figure out how are we going to film? because no one is going to film with them.
Right. Who's going to sit with Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, I've said it a million times. I just don't. I know everyone wants to see what happens with them. I just don't think it's that important. I feel like we're good. Hold, give it to us online. I know he will. He's just going to step away from Instagram and not tell us where he's playing next.
Yeah, right.
Don't think he's never really, if you really think back, he's never like really had a storyline other than the Kristen thing with like, and then Jax or whatever. But that was a really long time ago. Mostly he's been this like self-righteous guy that's like, I do all this stuff for my friends and I like concerts.
Like, I do all. Well, what happened when?
Been his storyline.
And when everything happened with Jax, it took the heat off him to see what he was doing with Ariana or whoever else. I mean, there's been so much talk of Miami Girl being vindicated this year or this past week. Good for her. I think all of us believed Miami Girl at that time.
And even Ariana dropped that at the. She's like, I've known the whole time.
Yeah, and she said they weren't exclusive, but I think that. You know, they might not have been exclusive. However, I don't think that this was the only time that Tom was getting down and dirty. And I think Ariana or Lala says that at one point, like, this is not the first time. And that's the truth. This is not the first time he did this. My favorite part of the rooftop at Grandmaster was the Schwartz conversation.
Yep. Let's get into that.
She went in and I was living for every single second of it. The first thing she says, which was like, I wasn't expecting it. Was how she said, I'm not going to be friends with people that are friends with him. And I thought she was going to say, so pick a side. She did not even hesitate. She said, so we're not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was that.
And I think that's so fair. You can't.
100%.
When it's something like this and it's not just a breakup, this is like really, if you are, you just can't. You can't have mutual friends at this point. It just doesn't work.
It's too big. It's not like
especially, I think you would almost. Without even really thinking about it, you would sort of just resent that person a little bit, or you would want to know if they hung out recently. It would just, it would not be healthy for her own mental health. Like, I think it just would bring a lot of baggage that she doesn't need.
But to your point from the top of the conversation, when she, what you said earlier about the way that she delivered these blows was with such. I don't know the word because it was so like knife to the heart, twisted, but so calm, so poised, so collected. She was ready to give it to him.
And there was no tripping over the words.
None.
It was just, it was out there in one line.
And then they showed the text from Schwartz, which I paused the TV so I could read that.
I hated it. Take a vacation, jet set somewhere, lovely, and splurge. Like, okay, you buying?
A vacation, and I know you're going to be fine. It was so condescending. It was so narcissistic. All he cared about was himself. And he's like, I'm not trying to stick up for Tom right now, but here's a sentence of me sticking up for Tom right now.
1,000%.
It was cringe, ick. All of those things, all he cares about is himself. I can't even believe he said all of those things that he said. I could not believe that that was how he was. He was trying to defend himself while apologizing and saying, don't worry, you're going to be fine. And like, it was almost as if he did the chin, like, you're going to be fine, kid. Don't worry. Put your bootstraps on.
It's no wonder he is divorced.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine being married to a man that has no backbone like that.
Disgusting. Talk about the ick. Talk about the ick. Every time I saw Schwartz in a scene, I thought he would have some sort of, I don't want to say remorse. Maybe that's the word, but empathy for your friend who she was in your wedding. Sympathy. I thought he would have shed a tear because she started crying towards the end of that. And I thought he would have given a shit. And all it was his face looking dumb, worrying about his bar, and that was that. It was shocking.
The way that they all enable each other is just beyond.
And guess what? Hopefully this isn't going to happen again. I hope for Schwartz and Sandoval, it might have been a wake-up call. Like, hey, guys, this you can't keep doing this life that you've been doing, trying to fuck around everyone who you care about. It might have worked 10 years ago, but guess what? It's catching up to your asses, and it's not cute anymore.
I know. It's almost – crazy too that, I mean, I guess we've seen him on Watch What Happens, so we know, there's not like a lot of forward thinking, but even in those scenes with Raquel, if he, again, going, if he's so concerned with the bar, you're making it worse by showing no like empathy towards your friend. Like, you could have really stuck up here and been like, this is, you know, there, this could have gone so differently that he could, and so in a lot of these conversations, basically all of his scenes, that if he would have just been less focused on himself, he would be less villainized now.
And to be honest, me and you were there at Schwartz and Sandy's last week, and if I saw this episode this week, I don't know if I would have gone.
Yeah.
Really, I think I would have been more boycotting in a way, because this – talk about giving me the ick. This gave me such the ick on Schwartz in a way. He's been giving me the ick all season, but this like put the nail in the coffin. He has no backbone. He is a puss. He's concerned with one person, and that's him. And I feel like Katie's vindicated this season for all
absolutely.
The – justice for Katie, for real.
Yeah.
And then I think we close out with the Sheena and Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. I want to know – I guess what he said, I wish we all had like recordings of the what, like all those phone conversations on Watch What Happens Live. And then there's even a part in the conversation that Raquel has with Sandoval, which I don't know, like I didn't really get, but she says, I could hear Sheena yelling because you had me on speakerphone. So what, Sandoval called and put Raquel on speakerphone like and like left it on the car seat so she could hear everything? Did you catch that?
I did, but I was so confused what they meant by that. So Sheena...
That's what I took it as, but that can't... That's weird.
Like, Raquel and Sheena were together that night, and then they're calling Sandoval. And why did Sandoval have it on speakerphone if he was with Ariana?
Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing was really weird. What did you think of this whole scene?
It made me sad for Sheena. I feel like Sheena has a... You know, her talking about like, we've been friends for this many years and blah, blah, blah. I could never see Tom Sandoval as a real friend to me. And I think there's a little confusion for me there as to why Sheena, regardless, we all know we have friends that we party with and we do things with. And I just always saw this insincerity. You said it earlier, this, he's not genuine about anything, that even if they were in the same friend circle for that many years, I think I was shocked by how much she considered him a friend, because it was so obvious to me that he was not fazed by that conversation at all.
I think this is a thing with Sheena, though.
If you
look throughout all this season, she's always like, my best friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Rob, my best friend. Like, she just goes all in. I think she puts people in a place that they probably haven't ever earned or that they don't feel in return.
And that's
like, not everyone can be your best friend.
And I think there's also a part of me that I'm very on the, I feel certain about male and female friendships. Realistically, I only have one guy best friend that I've known since I was 12 years old. And I think there's always going to be that part of me that like, Sheena, yeah, just because, you know, I'm going to take a stance that I don't think you can have that many guy best friends that she considers, after knowing for 6 months, after knowing for a few years, they're your best friend. I just think there's boundaries there.
Yeah, I think it probably too with that, I think her and Ariana have a real friendship. And so maybe it's just sort of like by proxy.
But she said she was friends with him before Ariana, which is interesting too. To me, it made me sad for Sheena how much she put into this friendship, that Tom, again, to me, he was just squeezing out tears. I didn't think there was any new info that came out of this.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. When Ariana does the witchcraft stuff, she writes on one of the things, like, Kristen says something that no longer serves you, and she writes unrequited loyalty. And this is something that I find with like a lot of these Bravo shows, I guess. And I can't really imagine having unrequited loyalty to, like, I don't know. Do you? Like, there's obviously friends I ride for, but like, if you're fucking up, like, you're fucking up.
I don't know.
I wouldn't blast you on national TV, I guess, but it's definitely a conversation that we're having behind the scenes. Like, this is not chill.
I do think that's something that I have it for my husband. And other than that, my friends, I feel loyalty to them. But if this was happening and riding or dying, I think you keep a few close on a few close ride or dies. And I think other than that, not that you're, you know, like everybody is kind of out there on their own. I don't think every friend can be your ride or die. I think we talked about this last week. Like you have divisions of friends. It just is what it is.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, the way that they both rode, as in like Sheena and Ariana really rode for Raquel, I was like, she's kind of only been in the picture for kind of like a minute.
Six months, a year.
You're not directly affected or you feel different about the whole Schwartz and Katie thing. It is still weird. Like you're still allowed to like be friends with Raquel, but also acknowledge like, hey, this is not cool. Stop doing this.
Yeah. Even Ariana the other week when she was talking to Katie saying Raquel was one of her best friends. Again, you've known this girl for a certain amount of time. How often are we calling people our best friends, our closest friends, our top tier friends? You know, it feels a little sudden too. Yeah. The one thing that really did irk me about this conversation is Tom gaslighting Ariana again, saying how when he tried to break up with her, she threatened to kill herself.
I hated
how
that.
How dare you? You have just humiliated this woman on national television. Mm-hmm. You have slept with her best friend, as she calls her, for months and months. You've cheated on her. You've lied to her now excessively for months and months. And you're going to say on national television that she threatened to kill herself if you left. How dare you? Even if that's true, you are the scum of the earth.
Scum. He's such a loser. Yeah, you can't do that.
It was insane.
I wonder, like, she probably felt something in her, like, heart right in that moment when he said that, knowing cameras were there. Like, how dare you?
I would have definitely been throwing something in his face at that point.
She didn't, like, respond. I don't know if she just didn't want to give it, like, too much weight because then we're focused on that.
Right.
But I was like, that like hurt my heart. It's like, I can feel it in my heart like right now.
Right. It's just, to me, that was the lowest thing he could have done all season. How dare you try to defend what you did?
Just convincing himself that he was right this whole time, like, was just really something to watch.
And that's what he's going to do. He's going to do that if he comes back next season. He's going to try to convince everyone how the relationship was falling apart and how to justify this. And you know what? Sorry,
you haven't said what you think. Do you think he needs to come back next season?
I don't think it's if I think he needs to come back. I don't think there's a chance that this man is going to lose out on this attention. I don't think we'll have a choice.
But do you want him to come back?
I do. Because I think if he doesn't come back, I don't know what else is the season going to be? I want him to come back for the drama. I want Raquel to come back for the drama because otherwise, I'm sorry, but these last few seasons of Vanderpump just haven't hit. After the Brittany and Jack scandal, it's kind of been downhill. And realistically, you need these two protagonists to come back to shake things up. I'm sorry. It's how it goes. If this was a TV drama, we would want them back, right?
I don't know. I've made it. I don't think that we need them back. I think I could follow the single girls and the opening of something about her. And like, I think,
but what are we really going to get? What are we going to get out of the opening of something about her? We're going to get one episode of them talking about the sandwiches.
Well, I guess like that, maybe just like in getting employees, but also, and like maybe focusing on those employees, but also, I don't know, following Sheena and Katie. I wish Ariana was still
single.
No one
cares about what Sheena's doing. No offense.
Or not Sheena. I'm sorry. Lala.
Love Sheena.
Lala
but
and Katie, like bringing new guys into the mix. Maybe a different, but maybe other, some of their other friends that are kind
this
of
is the problem.
On the peripheral, but never a cast member. And then if it doesn't work, then we rewrap. But I don't think Raquel is literally going to be allowed to come back by her parents.
Raquel's one thing, but this is the problem with Katie and Ariana and Lala being single in their 30s. They have way too much respect for themselves at this point to be making out and effing people on TV. So all we're going to see is what we saw with Satchel and Katie on their date with Lala and the Don, like kind of flirting on TV. Like that's all you're going to see. We're not going to see the drama that's brought us here in the first place. You know what I mean? It's not going to be the same.
Get it anyway, though, I don't think
they're
going to film with
I agree
Sandoval,
with that.
There isn't going to be any drama. Ariana is not going to put herself in positions where she looks crazy on TV. She's not going to do it. She proved it to us last night or two nights ago.
Ariana might not, but I promise you, Lala would love to destroy him on TV. James would love to destroy him on TV.
The reunion, that's Katie, when he'll do that.
But he's going to be coming around next season trying to do his amends.
I don't know if that's what it is.
And he's going
to. I think that'll run dry so fast. And maybe that means, you know, the show comes to a close at some point.
Yeah. It feels like there needs to be. It's true, because I think we're gonna need something to keep us coming back next season. I think the reason people will be coming back next season is to see how this plays out. And if there is a baby involved in this, there we go. That's the drama.
I don't think she's gonna be. She won't film.
She might not, but Tom Sandoval absolutely 100%. For a fact he will eat all of this up.
Yeah, but the baby thing, like, then that's going to probably be on Raquel's decision whether to include that as a storyline or bring the baby into it at all.
They can still say that there was a baby.
Yeah.
You might not be able to see the baby. We might not be at Raquel's bridal shower, but the fallout from that, we can still see it. Okay, so as we close out, quick notes on Watch What Happens Live. What were your thoughts?
She just looked so good, and I feel like Andy loved that she was there. Seeing all of the watch part. I like when Andy's excited because sometimes he's guest and you're like, he doesn't really care about this.
Right. Do you know?
Yeah, I was excited. And I also think that Sandoval is so thirsty for Andy Cohen's approval that seeing Ariana and seeing how excited he was to talk to Ariana made me so happy.
Yeah. Because he's not going to ask. Tom Sandoval might be waiting by the phone every day for this call for his own Watch What Happens Live. And guess what? Nobody's calling you, homie. No one's calling you.
Thank you for
Keep talking to Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said that. He said, Thank you for choosing me to do your first interview with.
And not Howie Mandel. The shade was so real.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing. So there was this YouTube crisis on Wednesday night. So part of it cut out for me. So I didn't see the full thing. But the most interesting thing that I saw and that I heard was Ariana said that Tom Sandoval's parents have not reached out to her.
I know.
That blew my mind.
I know.
Could you imagine?
No. Hell no.
Your partner of 9 years does this and your parents don't reach out. My ex, who was crap to me. My parents kept in touch with him for at least a year after we broke up just because of the family dynamic. Granted, he didn't cheat on me, but still.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I cannot imagine my partner doing this to me and then his mom not reaching out to me. It would never happen.
Yeah. I loved how open and honest Ariana was. I loved how she brought it. She brought it to this episode. I think the way she answered questions. I really, like I said before, I wanted to know if Raquel had reached out to her.
Yeah. I don't know. The letter. She sent a letter to Tom 4 days ago.
The letter. Oh, that's the other thing. The letter. I would have opened that damn letter. Trust me, I would have opened that letter.
I know. She's like, it's illegal. I'm like, oh, I know.
Who cares?
I know.
What's he going to do? I mean, you never know.
He would do anything for attention and to blow things up so that he's – I don't know. I'm so happy for Ariana. She's doing a lot. I do wish she was, like, single for a little longer because I just – but you know what? Agreed. Everyone deals with this differently and
– I don't think this is – my favorite thing that she said that day is, like, I'm having fun. And in the shadiest little Ariana way, she said – and I am satisfied. So we all know that Ariana is getting the good D, and that's all she needs right now. Do we think this is going to be her forever relationship?
No, not at all.
So let her get the good D. Let this man spoil her. Let her get – Stella's got her groove back. Mm-hmm. That's what she needs right now.
Yeah.
So as we close out, cringiest moment. Oh, so hard. So many to pick from.
Raquel smiling ear to ear in her confessional. That got me out of my seat. Got off the couch and I was like pacing around the living room and I was like, is this happening?
Oh, and she was like holding her hands like, oh my God.
She's like, I never had sex like this before. Shut up. Sit down.
Seriously. Sit down. Mine was also Raquel. Raquel saying, I just don't know. Like, am I crazy? Like you did this to Ariana. Are you going to do this to me? But I don't know. I think this is different. You dumb bee. Of course it's going to happen to you. It's already happened. Favorite bonding moment?
I guess just seeing all the girls really come together for Ariana, both at the like at Grandmaster's and then just even at her house too, and just seeing Katie. I mean, not that I even, it was like on my mind at all, but just them all sitting there and really being there for her.
Yeah. I'd say my favorite bonding moment was Sheena coming in with the cigs. It just meant so much. I also really enjoyed the scene with her and Lisa. Yeah, we have a lot ahead of us. We have three reunions to cover. There's a lot happening on Bravo right now. After the reunion, I think we'll be able to catch up on some of the other stuff we're missing out on. Mm-hmm. I might be out next week, but if not, Jenna will be covering for me. Yes. Thank you all for listening. And this has been Bonded by Bravo.
See you guys.
Until next time.